Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Romans chapter 8, if we should say so. Also, the verse I'm going to be preaching from is my favorite verse, or one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Not my favorite verse, but one of them. But let's begin reading. Of course, Romans chapter 8 deals with the spiritual side and the spiritual benefits of a saved person. Romans chapter 7 deals with the fleshly part. Paul says, "In my flesh," in chapter 7, "dwelleth no good thing. And things that I want to do, I don't do. Things that I wouldn't do, those things I find myself doing." And that's why he explained all those things, because in our flesh, when we look at our flesh, we're miserable within our flesh, realizing how much our flesh goes against our spirit. But then we find in chapter 8 the spiritual side of it. That's why he starts it out, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." He lets us know, even though we have our flesh with us, when we are saved, there is no condemnation. We will not be condemned by God because of Jesus Christ. And then he also lets us know in this chapter a good telltale sign. You have the Spirit of Christ. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. In verse number 9, "And if you do, there'll be three things they'll do. It'll affect your outward, it'll affect your upward, and it'll affect your inward actions. You will be led to walk outwardly. You will be led," in verse 15, "to look upwardly. And then you will also have a witness inside with his spirit, witness with your spirit." Then in verse number 17, he lets us know that if we are children of God, then we will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that we may be also glorified together. Now God will have his glory in heaven. His glory he'll not share with no man. But we will have glory too. It will not be the glory, it will not be robbing God of his glory. It will be part of our praise to God for our glory. In verse number 18, where I'm going to preach from, Paul says this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." In other words, we are anticipating the manifestation of the sons of God after we're getting saved, getting to the point where we receive the glory of being a son of God. Verse 14, or 20, I'm sorry. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." So what we need to understand is, the Bible says that we will have glory, but he says that to compare it with the sufferings of this present time is no comparison. Now let me just say this. There are sufferings. There will be sufferings. There'll be heartbreak. There'll be hurt. There'll be pain. There'll be sufferings. We all have them. Amen. We have them in different ways, different times, but we all suffer. Then the Bible also talks about suffering as a Christian. There are some things just being a Christian that you suffer about. But now those are things that Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. But then I don't want to deal with the suffering tonight. I won't put it aside because Paul lets us know that whatever suffering we do here, however great it may be, and some people has had a lot of suffering here, it is nothing to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. Tonight, I want to deal with that glory. There's a song that says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will then seem so small when we see Christ. I think of that song we sing here sometimes, what a day that will be. When we're going to see Jesus, we're going to look upon the face of the one that saved us by his grace. It's going to be worth it all. Whatever we've gone through, whatever we've done, it's going to be amazing. Tonight I want to deal with, and I want you to keep your Bibles because I want to go through some scripture. I want to give you some things about the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, Brother Greg and I was talking about this earlier, and I'll get into this in a moment. As a matter of fact, I think I'll just save it till I get to the second point that I had tonight. First of all, the greatest glory that we're going to have is seeing Jesus. The Bible says this, if you would, and turn places in the Bible with me, in John chapter number 14. John chapter 14, we could quote it, but I want you to look at it. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where what? I am what? There ye may be also. So we know that where Jesus is when he comes back, when the resurrection happens, wherever Jesus is, that's where we're going to be. Even the rapture tells us that. Look, if you would, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul wrote this concerning those who will be raptured out, both the dead and the alive. Because the Bible says in verse 16 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet who? The Lord in the air. And so shall we ever what? We will forever be with the Lord. Okay? And so there we will be with him. Look if you would in John chapter number 17. I should have got that while I was over there. And that was my fault. John chapter number 17. And tonight I just want to give you some verses and a thought or two along the way. In John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying, notice what he says in verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with what? Me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So again, he's praying. He wants us to be with him. Look, if you would, in the book of Jude. In Jude, we're going to be turning a little bit tonight. Look, if you would, in verse 24. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen. Some people says, well, I don't feel like I am fit to stand before the Lord. I would hate to meet the Lord, but the Lord has made a way in which we will have glory. We will have the glory to be able to see him and to be able to behold his glory. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." In other words, we don't have to wait. We are. But we're waiting for the glory of being the sons of God. And it said, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So one glory that will be revealed in us is seeing Jesus for who he is. Now, when the world sees him, it's not going to be a pleasant thing. When the world sees him, he will be as presented of sitting and having the fiery judgment, the brass, and they will be sitting there before him. He will be judging them. Knees will bow, tongues will confess, but it'll be too late. But when we see him, and when we are giving in our glory, we will see him, and we will see him as he is. We'll be able to behold the Son of God. We'll know then what a treasure Jesus was. Now, I do believe this, that Jesus, he is in the body still. I believe that where the Bible speaks of him all the way through the Bible as being, after he was crucified, as being the Lamb slain. When John saw in the book of Revelation, always the Lamb slain, I believe that he'll be there with the scars. The Bible tells us when he comes back to Israel before the millennial reign, that they'll look upon him whom they have pierced. So he'll have pierce marks in his hands. And so therefore he will have a body. So one glory that we have waiting upon us is the glory of seeing Jesus as a Son of God, as joint heirs, as a joint heirs with him. Can you imagine what a glory it would be to see God the Father and see God the Son and be able to manifest Jesus for who he is and what he is, and yet we'll have the glory within us to be able to obtain that and to understand and to enjoy the presence of our Lord and not be fearful. Now, I know the Bible says that some, when he appears, they will be ashamed. But I think through the great white throne judgment, or through the judgment of seat of Christ, I think that those things will be judged, and they'll get on. I think there will be some other issues that will follow that judgment that will mark how faithful we have been. But anyway, I do want you to concentrate tonight upon the glory. Not only the glory of seeing Christ, but the glory of experiencing a body, a new body. Romans chapter 7 says, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." One of the greatest things that we'll have when we have a new body is we will get rid of our flesh. We will get a different type of flesh. Now, Brother Greg and I started to say earlier, was talking. What will we be like? There's not a one of us can be dogmatic about what we're going to be like. What are we going to look like? Not a one of us can be dogmatic about what we're going to look like. We have a few ideas and examples given in the Bible, and that's it. We have the fact that Moses and Elijah was recognized by Peter and some of the apostles upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus, when he come back, had the ability to be recognized when he wanted to be recognized, and they recognized him for who he was. Then we also had, because when he appeared before his disciples and made himself known, they saw Jesus. He also had the scars in his hands. Now let me say this, and this may be a little deep thought, but Jesus, when he come back, he was in what we call a spiritual body. He was before he even went to the cross, he had glory because he revealed it upon that mount in chapter 17 of Matthew. He was the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. But he had the ability, when the doors was closed, to be able to come in. Somebody said, well, we have that ability? Well, I think that's what part of the ability of having a glorified body is about, a spiritual body. I don't know all about it, and I can't say dogmatically, and nobody can. But I do know this, we were created a little lower than the angels. The angels was made spirits. Over and over in the Bible, we have reference of angels being spirits. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, they're ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. When Jesus went down in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he went down to hell and he preached to the spirits that was in prison. Over and over and over, you have them referred to as spirits. The thing that separates man from angels is we were created a little lower. Angels was a created hierarchy to worship God, to serve God. They were given a high place of service. They were given a unique body, a spiritual body. Can they transform and look like a man? We know that from the book of Genesis when they came to Abraham, they can. Even Jesus had the ability before he came and was born of a woman, he had the ability to show himself upon the earth in a form, and a form of a man sometimes. We don't know all those things about a spiritual body. We just have little glimpses in the Bible. But God, when he made man, he gave man and made him a living soul. That soul was created in man to be in the likeness and image of God. It was to have the ability to choose, to have the ability to live forever. And we was made eternal beings because of our living soul. I was telling this to the school the other day. Our souls are going to exist forever. The soul never dies. Somebody said, well, if I go to hell, will my soul die? No. It exists forever. It's a living soul. Now, I said that to say this. The unique thing about God making man lower than the angels, when we have sinned, and we were born in sin, other than Adam and Eve, we were born in sin. We have the ability to find forgiveness of God. When the angels fell from heaven, God prepared a place for them when he got through with his plan, and they're going to go to hell. Not a one of those angels that fell are going to return back into heaven through a redemption program. The spirits don't have a redemption program. Only us that have souls are able to find forgiveness and be saved. And so therefore we have the ability to go to heaven, but we also have the ability, if we make the choices to reject God's gift, to go to hell. But anyway, in heaven we have the glorified body. Look, if you would, again in 1 John chapter 3, remember what he said, when he appears, we don't know what we'll be like, we'll be like him. Now I talked about this morning, and we were talking about this earlier. You know, some says, well, we're 33 and a half years old. Well, I don't think it means that. I think it means that we will be in a spiritual body like Jesus was. I don't know exactly what time we'll have. I don't know. I don't think years will have anything in heaven. I don't think we'll qualify ourselves as being 70 years old or 90 years old or whatever. But we will appear. We will appear like Jesus in his body. And I'm not sure. None of us can be dogmatic. Again, the question comes, how about babies that's unborn and they're taken out of the womb? How about little babies that die and so forth? And of course, we know as well that people die as deformed and people die as crippled. We don't believe that that will be a factor in heaven either. So therefore, we don't know exactly what's going to be, but we do know this. We will have a glory of a new body. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what Paul writes. in verse number 51, talking about the rapture, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now again, remember, Jesus is coming for us in the clouds. He's coming for Israel on the earth. When he comes back to the earth, he's coming to the earth. It's separated by tribulation period. And so the Old Testament, it was a mystery to them about Jesus catching away this church and saints. But he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, what? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Look on in verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this immortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now we don't know what it will be like, but we know this. The moment we'll be changed, the bodies we'll have, the glory that we'll have in them is a fact that we'll never die. Death has no more power over us. Not only that, but we will no longer be mortal. We will be immortal, and we'll no longer be corruptible. We'll be incorrupted. Incorruption will fill our bodies. Look on, if you would, in Philippians chapter number 3. In Philippians chapter 3, again, Paul gives us another glimpse a little bit about the glory of our body. Notice in chapter 3, in verse number 20, the Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall what? Change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we don't know, but we know this. We'll not only have the glory of seeing Jesus and enjoying Jesus face to face, we'll have the joy of having a new body. Whatever that consists of, praise the Lord. I believe this, that song we sung, I don't know everything about it, but I do believe that we will be happy over there. David said in Psalms chapter 17 that when he wakes in his likeness, he shall be satisfied. And I believe that. Not only that, but we also have the glory of a new home. Look, if you would, real quickly, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I know we hear this quoted quite a bit, but in verse number 9, Paul says this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now turn on over, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 21. In Revelation chapter 21, while you're turning, Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. So Jesus is preparing heaven for us. Notice if you would in verse number 21, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven, new earth. Now after the great white throne judgment, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Be nothing like this old earth and this heaven. It'll be a new heaven. And the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't know what that heaven will be like, but it's described. It has some talk about gates of pearl and walls of jasper and streets of gold and water of life and tree of life. And, you know, we can make perspective about it, but there's just so much that we don't know, but we know this. We will have a glory of being in a new place and new environment. Look one more place, if you would, in Revelation chapter 21. In 21, if you notice the very last part of it, notice if you would in verse 27. The Bible says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, and they which are written in the book in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, it will be a place of purity, no sin. We will be saved at that time from the very presence of sin. We'll not have to deal with sin, issues of sin. We'll not have to deal with the devil, nothing else no more. That's the glory of being in our new place. Now, we don't know, and somebody says, well, I believe I'm going to have a mansion. Well, I don't believe the word mansion is what we picture a mansion to be. I believe the word mansion, if I understand it in the Bible, is a dwelling place. God's got dwelling places up in the third heaven. I don't know all about it, but I know this. Jesus went to prepare this special place for the church, his bride. And not only that, for several that's listed there in Hebrews chapter 12. And so when the new Jerusalem comes down, they will have their residence in that new city. And so we have the glory of our eternal home. We'll have the eternal glory of seeing Jesus face to face, the glory of having new body, and the glory of having new home. And last but not least, look back if you would in Revelation chapter 21. The Bible also says in chapter 21, verse number 4, he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. On over in chapter 20, in verse number 10, it's where the devil's cast in lake of fire forever, so he won't be around. Notice in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceiveth them that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now, so what I want you to understand is we also have the glory of former things passed away. How much will we know? What will we know? What will we carry with us that we know now? Will we carry our relationships? Will we carry this and that the other? I do know this. The Bible teaches marriage is for earth. The only marriage that will count in heaven is a marriage of the Lamb. Everything will be prepared for the marriage of the Lamb. The marriages will not hold up in heaven, but however, I believe our personalities will to some degree. Moses was known. Elijah was known. Abraham was known in Luke chapter 16. The rich man was known. Lazarus was known. Jesus, when he come back, was known. Those were known that had passed on from this life. And even though Lazarus and a rich man and Abraham was just in their soul, they still was recognizable. I don't know how they recognized them. I don't know if they was ability that God gave them. I don't know. That's above my pay level. But I'll say this. Another thing that will be glory is not having all this former things. Somebody said, well, this thing that happened to me will go with me forever. No, it won't. I believe it'll be go on. I believe there'll come a time at the great white throne judgment. There may be a husband and wife. There may be a son and mother, or son and father, and daughter and whatever it may relationship may be. They may sit there and one of them may see the other one cast in the lake of fire. I know that would rip our hearts out. But if you notice, it's not till the next chapter that God wipes away all tears. God wipes away former things. And so therefore, I think those that doesn't make it, they will be of the past. They will be of past relationships. You will now be a child of God. You'll be a joint heir with Jesus. You'll be sharing in the glory. And your mind will be on heavenly things. I'm not sure how it'll all be, but I know this. And I'll close with this verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time shall not be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not to us, in us. We get to experience that glory. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Do you understand that if you were to die, you would not see what all those things I described. It would not compare to you. There's not glory waiting on you on the other side if you're not saved. If you reject Jesus Christ, in hell you'll lift up your eyes, being in torment one day. If God's dealing your heart to come, maybe you need to come. You've never put your faith and trust and belief in Jesus, and tonight God's dealing your heart to do that. Would you come? How about it? To Jesus.